It amazes me because somebody can love me like that. When you look at the folk around you, they may not love you like that, but God amazes you because he loves you when nobody else will. He loves you the way nobody else will. Isn't that amazing? That you've got a God and he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to be his child so that he can share his love with you. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. I'm going to ask now that the children would come up front. We've got a message especially for you. Just stand right over there. Come on, man. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. Come on. Let me read this verse of scripture, or this passage of scripture for you. From the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now this is the verse I really want you to pay attention to. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. Y'all know what faith is? Do you know what faith is? What's faith?
When you believe in something.
When you believe in something. And even more importantly, when you believe in God. Amen? Trusting God. Believing in God. And it said, when you have the shield of faith, it will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen? I want you to look down on the ground. Those are fiery darts. There's some pretty fiery darts, but they're fiery darts. And it says that the enemy picks up his fiery darts and he's aiming them at you. And he wants to throw them at you to hurt you. What do you think about that? She's right. It's not cool. You sure you don't want to come up here, man? I want y'all to take a fiery dart. And just pretend for a minute. Here you go. You too. Come on. Right now, I'm in a state where I don't believe in God. I don't trust God. Now, I want you to show what happens when you're in this state. Take your fiery dart and throw it at me. Not in the face. I have no protection, do I? You hit me, right? I got hit with anger. I got hit with accusations. But then I find somebody telling me about Jesus, and I accept the Lord and Savior as my Savior. And I read in his word that it said I should take the shield of faith. Guess what I'm going to do now? I'm going to go in my secret closet every morning before I get up, and I'm going to put on the armor of God, which part of is my shield of faith. Now I want you to take all the fiery darts you can, and I want you to throw them at me. But I'm protected by my shield of faith. No matter what you throw my way, my shield of faith protects me. Every morning you get up, you're going to put on what?
Shield of faith.
Amen. Every morning you get up, you put on your shield of faith. God, I'm trusting in you this morning to protect me. God, I'm trusting in you this morning to lead and guide my steps. Amen. Trust in God. He's able to protect you like nobody else can. Amen. Amen. Found you in. And to feel your spirit and your soul. As you came in, each of you should have received a set of forks. Hold on to those. Hold on to those. You may be seated. Let us bow our heads. Father God, you know why we're here tonight. You know the purpose. God, we pray that you give us the understanding, the wisdom, the words. But most of all, God, we want you to give us the hearts of worship, the hearts of praise, the hearts of adoration. The hearts to bless you because you are our God. But I pray, oh God, that you began to move within me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh, oh God, that I may be used for your will and for your glory. And then, God, I pray that you will open our ears and help us to listen. Open our eyes, oh God, and help us to see Jesus. And then, God, I pray that you will open our hearts that we may receive him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. When you're there, say amen. And when you find chapter 14, I want you to begin looking with me at verse 12. Verse 12 will serve as our text for tonight. And it reads, "Very truly, I tell you, all who have faith in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." Amen. And tonight we're going to talk about the best is yet to come. I don't think y'all heard me. The best is yet to come. How many of you love looking forward to good things in life? You're looking for that next paycheck, amen, on Friday, right? Or they used to say that term and say the eagle flies on Friday. You work all week long knowing when Friday comes, the best is yet to come. Amen. How many of you know when you're going home to that special loved one that you know the on that way home, the best is yet to come? Especially if they can cook. The best is yet to come. You're looking forward, if you are like me, to that glorious day that you can see Jesus for yourself. The best is yet to come. Here in the Gospel of John, this 14th chapter, what you see is Jesus having a discussion with his disciples. And he's giving them some instructions and some promises. And he begins to talk to them about some things. And Philip asked a question. "Lord, show us the Father." And Jesus said, "Why do you say show you the Father?" Do you not know that I and the Father are one? If you have seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. There's no need to show you anymore. And then Jesus goes on to say, if you can't believe in me, at least believe in the works that I do. The evidence that I'm showing you, believe in that. If you can't do that, Philip, what can you do? But he goes on to give them another promise. In verse 12, he says, very truly, I tell you, all who have faith in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. That is a promise. But notice in that promise, it says, very truly, I tell you, pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. If you believe in me, if you believe in me, first thing, you've got to have faith in God. You've got to have a relationship with God. Without that relationship, you're lost. Without that relationship, you don't stand a chance. And don't get caught up thinking that you're going to have it all right. You may have some stuff. You may go through life and get by. But without God, when the best is yet to come, you'll miss it. So you've got to have that relationship. Why do I need that relationship? Why is it so important that I'm connected with God? Why is it so important that I have faith in him? God desires for all of us to serve him here on earth. Did you know that? He didn't just save you so that you can sit around now and do what you want to do. But what he says is, remember the song says, amazing is the love of God. His love is so amazing that he wants you now to share that love with others. Once you experience it, he wants you to share it. So when you start trusting in him, believing in him, that's your first step. But he goes on to say, the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Now, a lot of folk like that verse, and they get all super spiritual. And they said that Jesus said that we can do greater things than he did. But notice what it said prior to that. The works that I have been doing, you shall do greater. What was Jesus doing while he was here on earth? Evangelizing, making disciples, loving folk, healing folk. Now, that's the part we like. When we get that part and say we can do greater things, oh, Lord, we want to lay hands on folk and eyes open up. We want to walk up the lame folk and lay hands on them and they began to walk. We want to put hands in deafened ears and boom, they're opened up. That's what we always think when he said, greater stuff that I can do. Well, let me tell you. Jesus said that the work that I have been doing, you will do greater. We cannot duplicate the work that Jesus does in the spiritual realm. Only he can do that. But the work that he did while he was here on earth for those 3.5 years, we can do that. And he said that we can do greater. Well, what was he doing for those 3.5 years he was here? He was loving folk. So guess what? You got to love some folk. But it said that you'll do it greater than Jesus. Because you got more time to love folk. Jesus only had 3.5 years. I've had 41. I messed up a lot of them, but I'm trying to get the rest of it right. I can love more in the rest of my life than Jesus did while he was here in the flesh. And I'm so glad I can. I can have compassion. Christ had compassion on people. He didn't just look at folk in their said situation and say, that's too bad. You know, don't we do that sometimes? We look at folk and they down and out, and what we do? That's too bad. And we just keep right on going. But Christ had compassion, enough compassion that he would stop and see about the need of that person. Blind Bartimaeus up in a tree. They told him to be quiet. But Jesus said, no, let me see what he needs. The woman with the issue of blood wasn't supposed to be in the crowd touching anybody. She pulling on Jesus, him. And he says, let me see what she needs. The centurion. Jesus was always looking to have compassion and feel the need. Are we doing the same? He said, greater shall we do it. See, we get so spiritual sometimes. We get on that supernatural trip and we forget that God said the greatest thing of all is what? Love. So if we spend more time loving folk, the rest of that stuff ought to come easy. But they don't like me preaching. Love them anyway. Last time I said, read the Bible, it said, love those that are persecuting you and pray for those that speak evil against you. Does it not say that? And then if you go on into Corinthians, it says, when you are cursed, you bless them. It says that when you are persecuted, you endure. It says, when they speak slanderous words against you, you speak a kind word. Well, preacher, if I do that, folk gonna walk all over me. Well, you in good company then. Jesus did the same thing. But he walked with more authority than any man has ever walked. He walked with more compassion than any man has ever walked. But he left a promise to us that you will be able to do it greater. Are we doing it greater? And if you're not, I'm here to tell you, the best is yet to come. And not only did he love and he have compassion, but guess what? Jesus was the greatest servant of all. How you figure Jesus was the greatest servant of all? I don't care what example you come up with. Jesus is the best example you'll ever have. An evangelist, Jesus was the best example. Missionary, Jesus was the best example. A servant, Jesus was the best example. Preacher, Jesus was your best and greatest example. Being just a brother, Jesus was your best example. A teacher, Jesus was your best example. Teaching. You shall teach greater. Y'all looking at me kind of crazy. You can teach greater than Jesus did. Why? You got more time. He put you here on earth to serve a purpose. And if teaching is your gift, he expects you to fill it out. If ministry, playing the organ and the drums is your gift, he expects you to do that. Guess what? You bless people when you do so. And they have blessed me with those songs. And I didn't even know that he was going to sing that last song that talked about surrounding. And see how God worked things out. But if you just trust in him, allow him to show you the great things that he has in store for you. Greatness lies in each and every one of you. You just have to be willing to tap into it. You just have to be willing to pull it out of you. Sometimes we get scared and we don't want to step forward, but God says, I got some great things in store for you if you just come on out. I got some great things for you if you just take the next step, and I can show you what I want to do with you. Love people. Have compassion on them. Be merciful. Mercy was one of Jesus' greatest attributes, because there were plenty of times he could have just done some folk in. When they were doing all kind of stuff in his father's house, he just came through with a whip. Now, he could have just went on here. Now, remember those other two disciples, they got all caught up and said, Jesus, what you want us to do? Call fire and brimstone down on them? We can do it right now. Jesus said, no, don't need all that. When Peter pulled out his sword, whew, cut the ear off. What did Jesus say? Put that away. Who those that live by the sword, die by the sword. Put that away. Put the man's ear back on. Now, the man came to arrest him. But that's the kind of man Jesus was. Are we like that? Is the greatness in us coming out? Is the greatness in us coming forward? Is that promise of doing greater than what Jesus did being fulfilled in our lives? And then he goes on to say, because I am going to the Father. That's important too. Because until Jesus went to the Father, you didn't have the Holy Spirit in you. Once he went to the Father, he then allowed the Holy Spirit to come into the earth realm. And now guess what? As a believer, the Holy Spirit indwells inside of you. You have the presence and the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Oh, that's an awesome thing. When you're in trouble, the Holy Spirit is there to give you guidance. When you don't know what decisions to make, the Holy Spirit is there to give you that instruction. When you think you can't go any further, the Holy Spirit is there to give you encouragement, to give you that strength to say, come on, we can go another step. God's got some great things in store for you. The Holy Spirit is there whenever you feel like you're at the bottom or you're at the end of your rope. The Holy Spirit is there to say, the best is yet to come. Keep going. And every time you take a step in Christ, every time you minister in his name, God can show you something greater. Every time you move forward in Christ, you can see that the best is yet to come. And I know y'all still looking at those forks wondering what that's all about. Pick them up. Look at them. They're just ordinary forks, right? Got a red one, white one, got a clear one. It's forks. And we use forks to do what? Fill our faces. Amen. Add weight to us. But I'm here to tell you, and I pray that you carry those forks with you everywhere you go. Now you're looking at me like, hey, what do you think I'm going to carry forks around me everywhere I go? What's wrong with him? I heard a story. And as long ago, it says that when the old church, you know, back in the day when you used to stay at church all day long on Sunday, you go to church early in the morning, pack your lunch, bring it on down, and you go down by the creek and sit down there and you eat your lunch. Then you go back to church for the afternoon service. Y'all don't remember that, do you? Y'all don't know nothing about that, do you? Well, it said that when they got down there and they began to eat those lunches, every now and then a man would come by and say, keep your fork. Something good is coming. And they knew to hold on to that fork. Don't throw it away today. Hold on to it. And I'm here to tell you today, keep your fork. Something good is coming. Hold on to that fork. And when they heard that man come through the camp, keep your fork. Something good is coming today. Keep your fork. Something good is coming today. Keep your fork. Something good is coming. Keep your fork. Something good is coming. They held on tight to that fork. I don't know what's coming, but I'm sure going to be part of it. And they said that what that usually meant was there was dessert coming. Somebody had some pie. Somebody had some cake. And you needed your fork so that you can indulge. Well, I'm here to tell you, you got three forks. One red, one white, one clear. And they're to remind you that the red fork, you've been justified. But hold on to your fork because something good is coming. Justified in the blood of Christ. That's why it's red. It was his blood that made you righteous. It was his blood that covers you and allows God to see you, not the filthy you, but when he looks at you, he sees Christ. And it's all because Christ shed his blood on the cross for you. Keep your fork, because something good is coming. And that said, that promise, you can do greater things. But guess what? He goes on into that chapter and he says, anything you ask in my name, I'll give it to you, or I'll do it for you. What did he mean by that? Now, some folk take that one a little too far, too. Oh, I can get that Mercedes. Oh, I can get that house. Oh, I can hit the lottery. I can do this. I can do that. God, I've been praying. You know, I've been playing lotto for 6 months. Why ain't hit you? Lord, come on now. Let me hit. Lord, that new Mercedes Benz, the big one with the sunroof and, the 20 folds on it. God, you know I want it. But that's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is, if you get so into me, and I get so into you, we become one. Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Don't you know I and the Father are one? Jesus was the greatest example. He got so in tune with the Father that they were one. When you saw him, you saw the Father. When you saw him at work, you saw the Father at work. And what God is saying, if you can get into me like that, we'll be one. And when folks see you, they'll see me. When folks see you working, they'll see God working. When folks see you blessing and ministering, they'll see God blessing and ministering. But whenever you ask anything, when we get that close, when you ask, I'll do it. Why? Because what you'll ask will be in my will. Whatever you're asking will be what I want done anyway. You start losing yourself in Christ and you forget about what you want. That house ain't important anymore. That car's not important anymore. God, I want this soul to be saved. God, I want more folk to come to the church. God, I want more people to be able to feel your presence. God, I want more people to experience your blessing. God, I want more folk to be healed. God, I want more folk to be delivered. When you start praying like that, God said, that's what I want. And guess what? I'm going to do it. Why? Because you got right here with me. We're now one. And because you've been justified in the blood of Christ, keep that fork because something good is coming. Then you got that white fork. Guess what that's for? Because you've been sanctified. And guess what? You're still being sanctified. Sanctified means you've been cleaned up. White represents the what? The cleanest of clean, doesn't it? You don't get any cleaner than that, right? You want your clothes to be squeaky white? What you do? You pour that bleach in there to do what? Clean them. God has been cleaning you up ever since the day you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. He's been cleaning you. And guess what? He's still cleaning you. We ain't all the way clean. But he's still cleaning you. And there's going to come a day when you're going to be sparkling white. Your robe will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you'll come out white as snow. Good God Almighty, keep your fork because something good is coming. But then you got that clear fork. Well, that's when it really get good. One day, when all this trouble down here is over, you're going to be glorified. Oh, God Almighty. That's when he said that I shall see him face to face. And not only that, but he said that I shall what? Be like him. Jesus is now in heaven in his glorified body. You got one fork to remind you that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You got another fork to remind you that you're being cleaned up and made whiter than snow. And you got a third fork to remind you that one day you're going to receive that glorified body. The book of Revelation said there'll be no more sickness, no more dying, no more crying. There'll be no more. You won't even get tired anymore. Why? Because I've got my glorified body now. The best is yet to come. So every now and then you might want to take them folks to work with you and put them on your desk somewhere. And when things start feeling a little rough or getting a little hectic around the workplace, pick up your folks and look at them and say, but the best is yet to come. When it's getting rough around the house, he ain't acting right. She ain't acting right. The best is yet to come. When you're out there on the street, you got it in your car and somebody acting stupid, cutting you off in traffic, instead of doing that other stuff, pick up your forks and say, the best is yet to come. When folks see you walking around with your forks, they're going to be looking at you like he done lost his mind. Every now and then he's looking at them forks. The best is yet to come. Every time we see him walking around at work, the best is yet to come. When your wife see you walk, well, unfortunately, y'all going to know. When you see one of them walking through the house, the best is yet to come. They gonna know something ain't right. But then when you get a chance, if they ever ask you, I got a red fork because I've been justified. I got a white fork because I'm being sanctified. And I got this other fork, this clear one, because it represents I'm gonna be glorified. I got something here and the best is yet to come. So keep your forks because something good is coming. Amen. Hold on to your fork now. Something good is coming. And there's another reason that we're here tonight. There's a gentleman who's recently gone on to get his reward. We call him Jim. And we have a empty chair in our Bible study now. And I set that chair aside. And I said, well, Jim will always have a place with us. As long as we're living and breathing, as long as we're having the Bible study, Jim will always have a place with us. So we set aside a special spot for Jim. And not only that, but When I heard the news, it put an empty spot in me. And the first night we came back and I wrote on the board, there's an empty spot on the wall. And the reason there's an empty spot on the wall is because Jim is not with us anymore. But the thing about it, Jim touched our lives. The men that came to the Friday night Bible study, we got a chance to get up and close and personal with Jim. Jim was a character. But you know what? I found myself the first night he came, I was looking at Jim and he amazed me. Because some folk would look at his exterior and count him one way. But God allowed me to see past that, and I began to hear what Jim was saying. There's a man that was sitting in front of me that had knowledge. A man that was sitting in front of me that had some understanding. And one of the things that Jim said was, I ain't figured out what I'm here for, but I want to find out. I haven't figured out why God has spared me, but I want to find out. And he shared his amazing story with us of how God spared his life, how he was involved in an accident. And he shared in that accident, he said he had checked out. But he said as he was going down a tunnel, a nurse that was dressed like she was from the 1940s appeared to him and said, you got to go back. Your injuries aren't that serious. And I sat there and I'm looking at Jim and he began to pull his leg up and show you that his kneecap was gone. And I'm like, this brother has a story to tell. And he was there to show us and to touch us. And for the brief time that I got to experience Jim, I can say it was a blessing. For the brief time that I've got to know Jim, it was an honor. For the brief time that Jim passed through my life, I could say I met somebody that intrigued me. I met somebody that showed me something new. I met a man named Jim. Now, the rest of us that came or come on Friday nights, we just want to kind of share what Jim meant for us and meant to us. Amen. Amen. Now they all gonna run at one time because they all. He was a character. He was a character. Jim, he had a sense of humor, and you couldn't help but laugh. I mean, Friday night is not just a Bible study. It's a it was a healing session. It was just a release. Yeah, good time. And Jim made it better because he joined us on Friday night. And Tracy, we're going to thank you for coming. And that was one of Jim. He said, I just wish she would come over, get to meet y'all. And I'm pretty sure if she met y'all, she would get to like y'all. And so we pray that we are not that bad of people. And but, that you meet people, that you enjoy having them as a part of your life. And like I said, Jim was one of those people that we may not have understood why he was passing through at the time. But now that we look back and we recollect on how he's touched all of our lives, he had his purpose. He served his purpose. And that was one of the things that when he first came, I don't know what I'm here for, but I want to find out. And I think he found out what he was here for, to touch the lives of the people. And I think what we should do is continue that memory on by doing what Jim would have done. Same way Jesus said, greater things you shall do. We have an opportunity because we have touched Jim and he's touched our lives to do greater things with what he's shown us. So what he's shown us, carry it further. The same love and compassion. Like I said, some people just look at you and say, oh, well, Jim wasn't like that. Jim saw a need and He had enough compassion and enough discernment. And the sad thing that Rayvon didn't tell you, the person did not tell Jim that they were in need. Jim sensed that there was something wrong. Jim sensed that there was a need that needed to be met. And Jim made a call. And because he made his call, and we shared in Bible study that night, and Jim just sat there and said, you know what? I never knew that one phone call would do all of that. But and like I told him, it was because you were willing to listen and be obedient to what God wanted you to do. See a need, and God pressed upon your heart. Do what you can do. And like he said, I really didn't have it to do anything, but I did what I could. Are you doing what you can? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this night, and we thank you, God, for everything that our ears have heard, and we thank you, God, for the promise that you've given us, that if we believe in you and have faith in you, we could carry on the work that you started through your Son, Jesus Christ. But not only that, oh God, but we could do even greater. We can touch humanity on your behalf. And then, God, whatsoever we ask when we are in tune with you, you'll do, because we're in your will. We're asking for what you want. And most of all, God, we're thankful that we had an opportunity tonight to express our love, to express our care for a man called Jim. And yes, God, there may be an empty place in our hearts now, but we can fill them with the memories of Jim. God, we're thankful that we had an opportunity to encounter him. And God, I thank you for even the night that he showed up and he played his harmonica. And the one song that he played was Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. And God, how you loved a wretch like us. We thank you for Jim. And most of all, God, we're thankful to you. We're thankful to your Son, Jesus. And we're thankful most of all that you've given us your Holy Spirit. Now, God, help us to keep in mind that the best is yet to come.